Welcome to the first Finance, Facilities, and Operations Committee meeting for this academic year. Everybody else has commented on what an exciting time period is. I guess living in the community, I can tell you there's more traffic, so everybody is back. Ms. Banks, Wilkins, will you please call the roll?
Trustee Robert Boy.
Here.
Trustee Wheeler Coleman.
Here.
Trustee Anthony Iosco.
Here.
Trustee Robert Marshall. Trustee Sherilyn Muir.
Here.
Student Trustee Elliot Eccles.
Here.
Board Chair John Butler.
Here.
Committee Chair Mark Strauss.
Here.
Thank you.
Mr. Blakemore, would you please verify the appropriate notice of this meeting has been posted?
Appropriate notice for this meeting has been posted pursuant to the Open Meetings Act.
May I have a motion to approve the agenda for today's meeting?
So moved.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I have a motion to approve the minutes of the meeting of February 28th, 2013.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We have a motion to approve the minutes of the meeting of May 23rd, 2013.
So moved.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So today's agenda includes a number of items that require committee approval. Among them are the fiscal year 2014 internal budget, fiscal year 2015 budget guidelines, fiscal year 2015 appropriated and non-appropriated capital budgets, facilities planning and operations computerized maintenance management system, College of Engineering and Engineering Technology, engineering outreach, OSHA courses, public safety radio dispatch system upgrade, capital project approval. We'll also receive a number of reports, including the fiscal year 2013 reports on tuition and fee waivers, capital activities, transactions involving real property, cash, and investments, and the obligation of financial resources, a quarterly summary report of transactions in excess of $100,000, and professional excellence awards for faculty and staff. At this time, I'd like to recognize the representatives to this committee from the University Advisory Committee, Dr. Alan Rosenbaum and Dr. Greg Wass. Dr. Rosenbaum, you have anything you'd like to say at this time?
Thank you. I have no comments at this time, Chair Strauss.
Thank you. I don't see Dr. Wass. Oh, any comments?
No comments. Just welcome back to the meeting.
Thank you. Mr. Blakemore, have any members of the public registered a written request to address the board in accordance with the state law and the board bylaws?
No, they haven't.
I like to catch them like that. At this point, I'd like to ask Dr. Steve Cunningham to present the university report.
Thank you, Chairman Strauss and members of the committee. Before we get started, I just thought it might be useful to recap a little bit on the recent actions of the Moody's rating service, which on August 9th completed a review of all of the state public universities, and then on August, more recently on August 22nd, issued a report titled Pressures Build for Illinois Public Universities. And this is a public report, and it talks about the fiscal context for the public universities in the state budget process, and certainly pension reform is key to that. But in their footnote on the front page, they indicate that on August 9, 2013, Moody's downgraded the ratings of 7 of the 8 rated Illinois public universities. Most of the smaller universities went to Baa1 status, so that's a very serious drop in the bond rating to B status for these universities, and that's unprecedented in the public higher education. The report goes on to say that and confirm the rating of 1, and that was NIU. So our rating was maintained at A3, and the ratings for ISU, University of Illinois, and Southern Illinois were moved to an A3 status, with the U of I being a premium above that. So that's good news. In talking to the rating analysts, the new presidency of Doug Baker was mentioned, and his interest in our fiscal climate and fiscal operations. So that's a little bit of good news coming into the new academic year. So beginning with our agenda, the first item is the fiscal 14 internal budget. You'll recall we have a series of action items followed by information items. And you'll recall on May 23rd, the committee approved a preliminary fiscal 14 internal budget based upon what the likely appropriated funds were going to be from the state. That appropriation was subsequently signed by the governor and confirmed, and these numbers are now reflected for the confirmation of the fiscal 14 budget in agenda item 7A. So we ask you for your approval.
Can I have a motion, please?
Move.
Second?
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you. Agenda item 7B is moving to fiscal 15, where we are asking for the endorsement of the fiscal 15 budget guidelines that we'll use as the president and the university representatives go through the appropriations process. This table is a little bit revised from the one used in previous years, and then we're giving you some historical detail. So if you look at the table at the bottom of the page, you'll see what the Board of Trustee guidelines were at this time last year for fiscal 14, and that was a very conservative approach toward the budget recommendation. Then the IBHE recommendation is reflected in the second column, where the IBHE did propose a general cost increase of $3.5 million and entered a deferred maintenance line of $2.58 million. So that was a new action taken by the IBHE with respect to deferred maintenance. The governor's budget then proposed a 5% reduction. And finally, our net appropriation was held steady with the exception of a $57,000 reduction related to performance funding, which was relatively minor in the big picture, but we're going to work on that performance funding process. The real action is in the last column, and that is our fiscal 15 guidelines, which incorporate, in consultation with President Baker, we incorporated a more realistic picture of what our needs are for the fiscal 15 request, including an updating of our program priorities, where in the past we had three program priority requests. We can have up to five, so working with a RAISE group, we added two more. One is a Bachelor's of Science in Technology with emphasis in applied manufacturing technology, and the other one is Health Information Management Program. So those enhanced our program priority requests, and we also added a deferred maintenance line to reflect what was customarily in our deferred maintenance request some years ago. So
I'd like to interrupt you for 1 minute. Deferred maintenance.
Yes.
In all the years on the board here, I don't remember when the state really have made a contribution. Maybe they did, and I've forgotten. But this number here, have they given us any indication in the fact that they've changed their attitude towards deferred maintenance?
There have been a few indications. The first is the incorporation of a deferred maintenance line in the IBHE budget for last fiscal year. And that was new. We haven't seen that for quite some time. Years ago, back in the 90s, we would receive some deferred maintenance dollars. And those were part of our appropriation request and went through the process. And that stopped early in this decade, or actually in right after 2000.
Okay.
And so in talking with leadership in Springfield, as we, pension reform and so on, there begins to be the prospect of more stable appropriations if we can resolve that issue. And part of that might be a reinvestment in some deferred maintenance needs for the public universities.
Just for general conversation sake, deferred maintenance doesn't mean much to most people. But when you have an elevator that doesn't work anymore or not reliable anymore, it becomes very important. And the state has, time and time again, just really doesn't take it into consideration.
And we have Jeff Dower, who is really our deferred maintenance expert here on campus.
Gentleman.
We talk about it all the time. But as you know, given the age of our infrastructure, this is a continuing problem that grows every day, actually.
Well, yeah, and my compliments to Jeff on this summer's maintenance on campus here. It really looks great. My only complaint was that there was a time when I couldn't even find an entrance into the sports department, the athletic department. It defied any way of trying to get there. And then there was a secret way, somebody showed it to me, but everything else looked great, Jeff. It was very nice. Thank you.
We work at that all the time, so thank you for acknowledging it, you know. And so our budget team, we have Christine Black, Mike Mann, Celeste Latham, Dina Funkhauser, you're all here. And so raise your hands, and everyone helps work on this budget process. Our next step will be to take this down more into the division unit level, where we're working very closely with President Baker on the process going forward for fiscal 14. So we ask for your endorsement.
All right, can I have a motion? Second?
Second.
Trustee Coleman.
Comment as it relates to the 3% for library and technical increases. I know we talked about the possibility of some consolidation and bringing together some of the technical functions, and I just wondered, hopefully some of that consolidation will also allow us to have some efficiency as we move forward and potentially save the university some money in terms of acquiring technology and whether or not that was taken into consideration when we proposed a 3% increase here.
Specifically, the 3% increase really relates to the cost of library periodicals and the
technological aspects of that. I think Provost Alden has set up a committee to work on this, which is now engaged in that process.
In terms of the technology or the library, I'm not sure which committee you're referring to.
So the line item here is a 3% library / technology increase.
Right.
So I'm assuming that's a combination.
We have a committee dealing with the institutional repository for open access research, but we also have a working with the Oracle steering committee to look at that kind of activity. I'm not sure which committee Steve is referring to, though. So I'm
this line specifically relates to the library itself,
and
not so much the data warehouse and enterprise resource systems, which are separate.
Okay,
from
but
that.
We do have a library advisory committee that works on that, but it's not ITS related. It's more library.
Yeah, and is this also part of Dr. Baker, I don't know if you want to weigh in on this, but is this also part of the technology review when it comes to the library?
Thanks for the question. There are a bunch of moving parts in here. There's a couple drivers in the library for their cost increases. One is the oligopolies that like Elsevier that have the holdings and sell us big packages of materials. And we like almost all libraries, academic libraries, have to purchase those to be relevant. They increase their prices on a regular basis at very high rates. And so that's driving us. They in the past decade, they've probably averaged 8 to 12% a year. So big increases every year in our holdings. And the libraries cut back on holdings and cut back, but then you get to a place where you just can't cut anymore. And that's where we are on that. Provost Alden referred to the open access. We have a requirement now to look at making all of our materials open to the public, creating a new system for that. And so that's going to drive some of that out-of-state legislation. And then I think you're also referring to, are there more efficient ways that we can use our technology, our hardware, and our softwares to reduce costs? Yes, and we'll look at that in the library and across the university, but it won't take away these other big drivers that are in environment.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Dr. Cunningham, I'd just like to be clear about where we are in this process. the construction of the budget guidelines is basically our wish list to go to the IBHE. A number of these things won't be funded, and we'll be back to talk about what the reality is at some point in the future. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. And even looking at fiscal 14, we see where our guidelines were and the end result. I think the sum of our request for fiscal 14 was in the $7 million range, and we wound up with a $57,000 reduction. Our fiscal 15 guidelines, the increase would be $12.2 million if it was totally funded. We do not anticipate that pragmatically, but we need to keep it on our radar screen.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you. Agenda item 7C, we move to the capital side, and this is a fiscal year 2015 appropriated capital budget request. Page 2, the following page, has detail with respect to the projects on the capital request. The top item is the computer science building, and this too has been updated per the direction of President Baker, because this item is actually number 2 on the statewide capital funding list, and that's kind of a big deal. It's been on the list for since 2004, so it's been on the list for a decade or more. There are some planning monies ready to be released for that project, and we refreshed the content of that to incorporate a health informatics and more of a modern and current utilization of that project priority. So that one is the one that's moving. These are internal priorities. Although they're appropriated, none of them are funded, with the exception of some planning monies for the computer science building. And so we would ask for your endorsement of this list.
Can I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? Trustee Muir.
Yes, I have a question. Would you, again, go over the fact that these are projected capital projects not anticipated to be funded? Is that what you said? And that's part of my question. But I also, as we look to priorities, could you speak a little bit more as to the Hoffman Estate project and how, you know, why is that on the top 5, and what are the expectations in regards to, I take it this is an addition to, a physical addition to the Hoffman Estate building. Is that what this is?
Yes. Start with this one, Trustee Muir. The Hoffman Estates facility, the university was had the opportunity for a property swap some years ago and acquired 20 acres near the Hoffman Estates facility. At that time, we envisioned eventually building a new facility that would have been budgeted at around $58 million. That has not made it to the statewide appropriated priority list, so it's not even on the priority list, so we don't see it as a likely near-term project, but we're keeping it on our radar screen for future emphasis if, in fact, we can enter into a dialogue with respect to funding that project. We have 4 projects that are actually on the statewide list right now. There are 29 projects across all the public universities. We have 4 projects, of which our computer science building is listed as number 2. Wirtz Hall is listed as number 13, campus roadway repairs number 19, and Davis Hall number 28. And it's taken us over a decade just to get the computer science building up near the top. So with respect to near-term possibilities, while those funds have not been appropriated, we will continue to prioritize this list in our appropriation hearings, especially this project. And I should make note that Stevens Hall, construction will begin on that, or the Stevens building, this coming spring. So that was also on the list for a long time and actually got funded, and there is well underway. We reviewed the blueprints with President Baker a couple weeks ago, and that'll be an exciting project for this spring.
So what is the reasonableness of funding the computer science if it's number two on the state? And not only how feasible is it, but within what time frame?
Steve, do you want me to help?
Sure, Kathy, okay. Yeah, please.
The priorities that are established by this board procedurally then go to the IBHE, who then takes every university's projects and the community colleges projects and ranks them in an order. And that's when Steve was referring to the second. We've made it now up through the second in the list. We do have planning money that has been appropriated. It has not been released yet for the computer science building. So that's usually the first step in the actual construction process. I would say that the next time the state does any kind of major capital budget, which we would hope would be in the next year or two, we would be able to receive funding for this particular project. The problem is that the state, as you know, is in such a deficit situation that there really hasn't been a predictable annual capital budget stream for many, many years now. So that's really what's causing the problem, and that's why it's very difficult once these priorities are established by governing boards to change them up, because it affects the master list for the state as your projects work and position the way through. So it's kind of a domino effect if changes are made. So I hope that helps.
Yeah.
Okay. Just give a few for Stevens. And I'm guessing at this now, Steve, help me. At least 15 years ago, I remember maybe in my first term of trusteeship, what it was. And the concern there was, will Stevens completely fall down before we get the funding to build a new one? And so we talk about a period of time, at least 15 years, in terms of give you a sense of where that came from. I hope we don't have to wait another 15 years for this, but that's where we are at. So.
Are there other questions? This would be a good time, because at our workshop session, there was a question about how these priorities are established and what is our focus on new capital projects. This is annually when we get an opportunity to take a look at the priorities. Much like the last item that we addressed, this represents our wish list, if you will, that goes to the IBHE for processing and then goes to the legislature for funding. And some of the realities have been discussed so that these items remain on the list in essentially the same order for years and years, because when we take action to alter the priorities, then we have to enter the competitive derby again, mm-hmm. if you will, for how these projects are viewed with other institutions for statewide funding. So, Trustee Butler.
I would like to learn more about the refreshment of the Computer Science, Health, Informatics, and Technology Center, the addition of the health informatics piece.
Yes, we updated that per the request of President Baker, and Ray's group was very involved in updating that because that is an academic facility. So Ray, you may want to shed some additional light on that too.
As you may remember, back I don't know how many years or maybe more than a decade ago, when this building first came on, computer science was bursting at the seams, and there was a kind of a sense that more and more smart classrooms would be important. I think right now it's computer science, and particularly in applied to health issues, as you heard this morning in the AASAP, that is becoming more and more important. But the need for smart classrooms, such as a collaboratory and the Cole auditorium that allows breakout by clusters, are becoming almost mandatory for many of our courses if we are to engage large classrooms. So we see this building being in the same mode of having a high-tech classroom and laboratory office building. We just are focusing it a bit more on what's now becoming the big focus for technology, which is not just in computer science and other technology areas, but in the application in the health area. So that's the focusing. We're not changing the mission. We're just defining it a little bit more specifically. And I don't think it's changed the overall need for a smart classroom building, and that's going to be a critical need in the future.
Trustee Muir?
Just a very quick question. Do we have the discretion to take monies, these capital projects, and I understand what Ms. Bittner said about going through the IBAG. Some of them are rather minimal amounts of money, $5,700 for signage and $4,400 for renovation. Can we take that out of operational expenses?
Those are millions.
Okay. Sorry about that. Okay. I got it. All right. I guess we don't have that hanging around.
No.
Not low hanging fruit.
Not that I'm aware.
Okay. You know, sometimes so smart, but sometimes.
Always. Trustee Coleman.
No, I was going to pass out a collection hat.
What is this?
You know, I do have a question that's a general in nature, and I'm not sure, maybe Dr. Baker or Steve, maybe you guys can answer this one. What are we doing in working with the foundation group to help put together campaigns to offset the shortage that we're getting from the state as it relates to possibly some of these capital improvements efforts?
Well, I can start that with some of our history with respect to, for example, Barsema Hall, and more recently the Jordan Center and athletic-related facilities, you know, and the Barsema Alumni Center, of course, but also opening this October is the Chesick Practice Center. So these are facilities that would not have been possible was it not for that aspect.
So I understand that. And I don't know if the indoor practice facility was like number one on our capital improvement list.
They would just be more instructional and infrastructure.
Sure.
Type.
So if you think about it for a second, our computer science facility and center has been on the list for quite a while. Some of the resident halls have been on the list for quite a while. Is this an opportunity now that we need to step back and say maybe we need to make sure that we develop a campaign or start developing campaigns to help actually improve these buildings? We just awarded or plan to award a guy that has made a lot of money in software technology, the SAS founder. Is this an opportunity for us to start saying, hey, how do we tap onto some of these resources, whether it's coming through the foundational group or another group, to start? We need help in this area.
This discussion is a good one. I had asked Dr. Cunningham in our future meetings, we didn't have enough time to prepare today, to give us the opportunity to address one important topic each time we get together. The first one that we talked about was the budget process. So we have capital budgets, both funded by the state and funded through the university funds. And then we have operating budgets, again, both sorts. And rather than take the time today when we have several other meetings scheduled and we're already behind schedule, I hope that the next time we get together that we can have a more extended conversation about the entire budget process. It's an important topic and very and also essential that the board understands how that process is set up.
Well, not only the budget process, but then how other entities are working in conjunction to help move the university forward.
Yes. All right. Are there any other questions or comments on this item? If not, all those in favor? Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you. Agenda item 7D, page 25 of your report, now relates to the fiscal year 2015 non-appropriated capital budget. And unlike the appropriated side, these projects would be funded subject to your authorization of this priority list. You'll see a detailed page right after the agenda item on page 26, which is actually
actually a table from our documents that are processed with the Illinois state legislative process, where we must detail our capital improvement priorities for fiscal 14. And this list, these are thousands, so this totals 1.98 million in total, and you'll see that it's a lot of deferred maintenance issues that we've brought up for priority. And in meeting with Chair Strauss and Vice Chair Eccles, we know there's a long-term interest in recreational facilities, which we're going to take a longer look at as well.
And you'd like us to endorse the recommendations?
Yes, we'll
here?
Move for your
so can I have a motion to that effect, please?
So moved.
Second? Discussion? I'd like to flesh out just one item. So with regard to the recreational facilities, the request was that we take a look at conducting a needs assessment, which this committee doesn't need to act on, but that's something that we'll undertake before we get around to doing the construction here on the men's locker room remodel?
Yes, we will hold that project until we have the opportunity to complete that needs assessment.
All right. If there's no other discussion, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you. Agenda item 7E is now a moving to a specific purchase of a new work order management system. The university's current work order system is very dated, and this would provide for a modern work order system. We process over 12,000 work orders a year, and the new system would provide for mobile handheld applications, better access control, better documentation of the work order process, and Jeff Dower can also respond to any specific questions on the work order process. We move for your endorsement.
May I have a motion to that effect?
Move.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you. Agenda item 7F is a subcontract with the College of Engineering provide OSHA courses. There is a fairly extensive OSHA program, and our College of Engineering is one of 28 national programs that host this type of training, and this is action item is for a subcontractor to provide the online training. I think Dean Vora is here if there is any are any specific requests or questions on this topic.
And the request is that we approve the expenditure.
Yes.
Authority as stated. Can I have a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? Trustee Butler.
I'm just can Dean Vora tell us the what range of OSHA training is provided? Is it the OSHA 10, 30, 500, the whole?
To answer your question, Trustee Butler, we did $1.3 million last year, and the net profit for the three partners was about $300,000. Between nine hosts and three partners, we offer 57 courses every year. And we also offer about 30,000 10-hour cards or 30-hour cards to people. We also have trained the trainer program. We have trained 4,000 trainers so far in the last 20 years. This program, the 10-hour and the 30-hour card, is pretty important because for corporations, a person working on safety issues and also in the construction industry must have these cards. Mm-hmm. It is good for us because it links us to industry, also promotes our safety program, and also enables us to really ensure that safe environment is provided in the construction and also in the manufacturing environment.
Do you have an opportunity to expand beyond the OSHA training model into, say, what I understand to be new HAZCOM standard requirements?
We are debating that in the college, and we are trying to expand the whole operation because this is something that we exclusively have expertise in, mm-hmm. and we have good connection with the industry, and I think there is a lot of scope in this program to be expanded so it can provide additional revenues for the programs. And we have a safety and a supervision program
Most of the safety professor experts in the state are our graduates, so we have a network that can support our efforts moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I just want to add that I think this is very important. There's a huge population of people who do this work and need this training, and some of them, as you know, that I know, are involved in collective bargaining programs where they get this programming through their training programs, but only, you know, a very low percentage of the construction marketplace is in that situation. So there's a great deal of need for this, and in terms of a moral imperative, this is important work that's being done here.
We are trying to connect the reduction in insurance costs as a value added for people to really get engaged into this program. If we're able to accomplish that through major insurance companies, I think that will provide a boost to the program moving forward.
And one other question. Mm-hmm. Do you offer this in multiple languages?
So far, we're offering it in English, but I think we'll try to see if we can offer it in other languages as well.
Yeah, I hope at least we'll move into the direction of Spanish.
Yes.
Because of the large Spanish-speaking population in construction.
Absolutely. We'll explore that.
Other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you. The last action item is agenda item 7G, which is a capital project approval for a new public safety radio and dispatch system. This is a high priority of Vice President Nicholas, who is available if you have any specific questions beyond the summary item. The existing system was installed several years ago. It was called a Zetron dispatch radio. That sounds like something out of the 80s. And it was recently, we had lightning damage, and it is an antiquated system that does not interconnect with other local public safety systems, nor does it have the upgrading and redundancy capabilities that a modern system would require. So this item would establish project approval not to exceed $2.25 million for the infrastructure and technology necessary to upgrade the dispatch system. Request your approval.
Is there any requirement that this particular language in the recommendation be actually read into the record, or are we okay with the general approval?
I think we're okay with the general approval. We would be subject to the procurement process as we actually
go. Can I have a motion then? Second? Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Trustee Coleman.
We're talking about $2.2 million here. I know the volume is about 10,000 a year. It just seems a little pricey to me. So is it the integration, or what is it that's driving up the cost here? Bill, can you share with
me? I'll try. Thank you. The actual dispatch piece is a one of three pieces. The other piece is the radio system. The radio system and dispatch together are about 1.4, 1.5 million. And then there's a very important piece, which is a fiber optic connection along the arm that was put along the Illinois Tollway to a collection point. I'm not that high tech a guy. At the state police headquarters. And why is that important? The system we're proposing to go to, the STARCOM system, is an interoperable system that would work with the city of DeKalb. It would also work with the state police and about 14,000 other agencies, because Motorola has the state purchase license, if you will, in the state of Illinois. This gets us to a higher level of response in the event of an emergency, and we had an emergency of catastrophic scope back in February 2008. And interestingly, at that time, we had a Motorola system, and Motorola came out and put up some antennas, and it got us to a point where we could actually communicate. Otherwise, our communications were overloaded and frankly inoperable. So there's an extra piece, and let's say that's about 300,000, and that is the last mile, if you will. It will also help us connect better with the city of DeKalb. And then there are other pieces. we've been talking about concealed carry. We've been talking about the possibility of, in our dispatch center, allowing people to bring guns in that can be stored on our campus until people leave, those people who are well-intended but happen to be walking on our sidewalks where they can legally conceal and carry a weapon once the licensure is in place. And they move off our sidewalk, now they're on our property. We want to gently take them to some place where they can deposit their guns. The only place we can do that is in a common area, and that puts our, frankly, our dispatchers at risk. And so a piece of this, and Jeff, you can help me with this, but I'm thinking that maybe the last 100,000 may be the piece, which is bulletproof glass and an enclosure, which would be safe for not only the employees, but also for the people who might be doing business as we're bringing these in. So three pieces. Some improvements to the dispatch center, a new dispatch set of dispatch consoles, and then brand new VHF radios that would be interoperable with the city of DeKalb. Right now, every NIPD officer carries two radios. And you can imagine the cacophony of sound that happens in any day, particularly when there's some urgent communication. This would allow us to go down to one radio, and there's a feature involved here, and I'm sorry to delay, but it's called priority scan, because the logical question is, well, with all that extra noise, how is that any better? If one of our NIPD police officers wants to communicate with another, once you cue up the mic, it eliminates all the background noise, and you can speak as if it's just two people on a string. And then once the cueing is done, you can connect with the state police or the city of DeKalb or any other area. So it's a package. It's not just repairing the console. We had been talking for apparently a year. This predates my arrival at the public safety about turning out the console equipment and the radio system. The two now are joined together in this package.
Thanks for that explanation. One quick follow-up question. That fiber that we got to hook up to, is that the fiber that we laid out?
Pardon?
The optical fiber that we laid out along 88, is that
yes.
What we rolled out? All right, thanks.
All right, let me call again then. All those in favor?
Aye.
And opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you. Now we move to the information area of the university reports in the next section of your committee books, beginning with agenda item 8A, which is the annual report on tuition and fee waivers. This is for fiscal 13. You'll see this on page 32 of your report. It has two sections. One are the mandatory waivers required by statute, and the other are the institutional waivers that are implemented internally. We do have a general 3% limitation of undergraduate tuition pursuant to the IBHE that beyond which we cannot waive in terms of the discretionary waivers in the second section of the report. These total $33 million. By comparison, fiscal 12 was about $31.2 million. So that's that item.
Any questions? Okay.
Agenda item 8B is the annual report on capital activities. This is a fairly detailed report about capital projects that were instituted and approved every year. There's tables that sort of incorporate the dollar value of these projects. Certainly we saw a spike in fiscal 11 with the Build America bonds and the new student housing complex. What's really different about this report is going toward the back end of it on page 37, where we incorporate the fiscal 13 projects, and these are described in some detail on pages 37 and 38 of the report, these have all been reviewed at appropriate authorization levels, including those required by the Board of Trustees.
Were there other information items that you specifically wanted to comment on, Dr. Cunningham?
I think you can see them listed. Most of these are information items that we
run through every year, the quarterly report of transactions is fairly large because we're moving into fiscal 14. That's always the case as we move into the following fiscal year. And we repeat the item on excellence awards for faculty and staff. That's important. So Ray and I both incorporate this into our committee books and very much appreciate the good work of our excellent faculty and staff.
Further discussion from the committee on any of the information items? Any other matters to come before this committee? Well, the next meeting date for the committee is scheduled for November 7th, 2013. May I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We'll stand adjourned.